Welcome to Success Unlimited with America's success thought leaders, Tim and Tom Simmons. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the journeys of thought leaders, business leaders, authors, speakers, podcasters, and various individuals' journeys to success and the challenges they had to overcome along the way. We are very thankful that you decided to listen in to our podcast. Like and subscribe to Success Unlimited's podcast and socials to receive updates when new episodes are released. Do you have an idea of who you'd like to hear? Let us know by commenting on our socials or by emailing info@mymentorhq.co. Now, we hope you enjoy this episode of Success Unlimited.
And welcome to Success Unlimited podcast. I'm your host today, Tom Simmons, and with me, we have the Energy Solutions Project Manager with Guarantee Electrical, Andrew Borschig. Andrew, welcome. So glad to have you today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have a lot to cover. Really interested in your story, your journey to success, what it all entails, some challenges you faced. But I would like to start off with some history today. You work with Guarantee Electrical, who's been around a long time. And an interesting fact you were sharing with me before we went live was Guarantee Electrical had some connection with the St. Louis World Fair in 1904.
That's correct. Yeah, there was a group of seven entrepreneurs in the electrical industry in St. Louis at that time, new and upcoming kind of, you know, technology that everybody was kind of learning about. And those seven people got together and basically said, hey, we will light the World's Fair, and we guarantee everything will work, and we guarantee we get it done on time. Nobody else at the time could do that, and that's kind of how we got started. And it's something we're very proud of with our history, you know, over 100 plus years. And, you know, it's a connection to our city and, you know, kind of where we started from and, you know, helps guide us every day as we move forward.
So, you say new technology, you're talking about electricity.
Electricity and lights in general. Yes. That was, you know, at that time, you kind of have to think back like, oh, that was, yeah, it was around, but was it as prevalent? And, you know, was there as many people working in it? And, you know, it was few and far between.
So it's funny you mentioned back in, that was about 120 years ago, and you mentioned new technology. Today, we just take electricity for granted. And it's made a lot of technological advances, LED and other things. We'll get into all that in a little bit. But I think that is fascinating. Been around 120 years, and you were the first to use technology to light a world fair. Talk about guerrilla marketing in sales, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So for you personally, I want to get into this just to touch on this. This is the Success Unlimited podcast. How do you define success?
For me, success is basically boils down to not being afraid to fail and making mistakes. I kind of look at it as either I'm going to win in a situation or I'm going to learn something. And we kind of keep going through that. And it's kind of, you know, I'll beat the drum, you know, internally in my head and with my team that either we're going to win or we're going to learn. And we can't be afraid to fail. We can't be afraid to put ourselves out there. And it's, you know, all of that helps to build who you are as a professional.
I love that mindset when you say it's not really you're making mistakes. They're not setbacks. You learn something. You can learn from your failures. And it's an opportunity to grow yourself. I heard it said that you don't grow on the mountaintops. You grow in the valleys.
I kind of look at it as, you know, I get beat down, you know, 100 times, I'm going to come back that much stronger on the 101st, and it's just not going to stop.
I love it. What is your one or two top biggest successes that you've had?
I'm very proud to be kind of self-made in our industry. I didn't go to school to do what I do. I've kind of learned along the way. So it's kind of, again, part of that journey that I've taken over the last 12 years. You know, taken those failures and those successes along the way. I've had multiple stops kind of within the industry in different seats, kind of learning different things. And it's kind of, you know, again, maybe who I am, but I'm proud that, you know, I kind of created something out of nothing, right? Just purely from the aggregate, created myself and gave myself not just a job, but a professional, you know, professional career that I can be proud of, support my family, help the community. And, you know, my ultimate goal is within my market, if you're thinking of, you know, LED lighting in the commercial or industrial space, that I want my name to be in that top three conversation, no matter who's having that conversation. That's kind of the reach that I want to get, I want to eventually get to.
Awesome. And you mentioned you were, in the past 12 years, you had different seats. What are some different seats that you've sat in and positions you've held?
Sure. So, you know, let's go all the way back to my, you know, very first stop in lighting. It was kind of in a retail showroom setting. So if you really want to kind of, you know, in our industry, what they call chew glass, try to sell lights in a retail setting, and you will learn a lot and get a lot of experience. And that's what kind of got me started. That rolled into working on multifamily lighting projects, which is its own kind of world and challenges. So that was an interesting experience. I did some stuff in the petroleum and automotive markets when it comes to lighting as well. Again, you wouldn't think of that, but it's kind of its own thing. It's, you know, so that helps me kind of go along. I've actually sat in electrical and lighting distribution seats. So basically the people that I buy from as a contractor now, I've actually been with them. So I kind of know how the distribution side of the business works, who the players are, all of that. And I've been in with a residential electrical contractor, now with a commercial electrical contractor. So it's very, you know, wide range, but you put it all together and it's, I think it's unique and I think it sets me apart.
That's a lot of diversity between retail to multifamily to oil and petroleum to commercial and industrial. I don't quite understand the differences. Why would lighting be, this may be a dumb question, but why is lighting different for multifamily, oil and petroleum, and commercial and industrial? There's three different segments there. What's different?
It's all kind of based on how they go to market. So for example, like on the multifamily side, it's everything's based solely on volume because you're doing, you know, hundreds to thousands of units in a multifamily project. And it's kind of, you're buying, you're using a lot of the same products over and over. So then it really comes down to, you know, strategic pricing of that volume and how you do it. And if, you know, the people who are in that space do it very well as compared to similar to the automotive and petroleum. It's basically how they go to market and how they purchase. And it's kind of smart on their end because they kind of separated themselves from the rest and they can be a little bit more strategic. They can get a little bit more aggressive and, you know, it's a big segment to where they can have some success with that. And then just the commercial and industrial, it's just every application's different. I always kind of have a term of, hey, is this really a lighting project or is this an energy project? What are we trying to do here? What's the problem that you're looking to have solved, right? And that's kind of how I approach it. I'm not there to sell you anything. I'm there to help solve a problem. So that's what I look to do.
Awesome. And you mentioned energy versus electric and lighting. And so do you get into or do you touch on solar at all?
So within Guarantee, we do have a solar division. So we are out there doing commercial and industrial solar projects. So that falls with under our energy solutions team. So they focus on the solar. I'm more on the lighting. We have a new gentleman on our team who handles EV chargers. So it all kind of works together. We kind of, you know, we're proud that we're kind of a small boutique unit that offers a turnkey solution, be it solar, be it EV charging, or be it the LED lighting in my world. We lead with kind of that specialty turnkey, and our goal and all that is to get a relationship and customer for life, for everything else that Guarantee has to offer them.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I have some good friends that are in the solar industry, and I know the commercial and industrial solar is skyrocketing and projected to skyrocket, whereas the residential solar this year is, and last year is kind of declining or slowing down a little bit. And a lot of that's driven by the subsidies by the federal government and the state rules and regulations there, with California being a big push there. So that's interesting. So we talked about the success, but you can't really have success without some challenges or failing forward. Would you mind sharing with me, I guess, some of the bigger challenges and tougher things you faced there?
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to my story, right? It's, you know, I always joke, if you look at my resume, it may throw up some red flags of the different stops along the way and all of that. And excuse me. But that's kind of been my biggest challenge, is navigating that journey. And, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, I think I picked the wrong horse in the race a handful of times. But again, back to what I said earlier, hey, I'm either going to get something positive out of this or I'm going to learn, right? So I just keep building and not trying to look past on that, you know, on those failures. And it's really not failures. Things, you know, it's business. It's not personal. Things work out. Things don't. But again, not being afraid to make those moves for that future growth. You know what I mean? Take a little, you know, take the good and the bad from each stop along the way and help make it who I am today. So that's ultimately my biggest challenge is, you know, hey, why have you been so many spots? Where, you know, and then it's like, it is what it is. And especially kind of in our industry, and a lot of people don't get it, is it's kind of normal, and it's hard to kind of explain that. But again, it's a competitive market out there for both employers and employees. And I'm always trying to balance out that approach to making sure I'm with a company that I trust and can grow with, while making sure everything else is in order, right?
Yeah. That's good. If you could go back 12 years ago and say, and give yourself, I guess, one piece of advice from 12 years ago to now, you've learned a lot, sat in different seats, different companies. What's that one piece of advice you'd give yourself 12 years ago?
Probably to be a little bit more humble. You know, you don't know everything out of the gate. And it's, you know, nobody's ever going to admit what they don't know. So the easiest thing to do is kind of fake it till you make it. And now it's like, no, I don't, you know, at the time that may have been needed, but now it's like, no, I'd rather be more genuine, more authentic. You know, it's all based on relationships. Again, I'm not here to sell anybody anything. I'm here to solve people's problems. And by that approach, the relationships grow. And it becomes more of a holistic approach. And I think when, you know, I first got started, you know, you may not be as humble or, you know, as, you know, self-centered, you know, internally focused as you probably need to be. You know what I mean?
I do. So let me ask you a different way here. So if you were, when you interview someone as part of your team and you're looking to hire a salesman, what are some qualifications that you look for?
Really, it's just the ability to communicate. In my world, it's being able to have a conversation with somebody. We're dealing kind of in a technical side of things, and it's an approach of how can I get these technical points across to somebody who may not be familiar with it, but I need them to understand, but I also don't want to talk over their heads or feel like I'm, you know, blowing a bunch of hot air at them. Again, back to being genuine, I don't want to come off as, you know, we've all probably seen it in the world. There's, you know, again, the term salesman, there's some negative connotations to that in certain things. And I never want any of that to be associated with me or anybody on my team. We're approaching this in a positive way. And we want to just be able to have conversations with our clients. And it's, again, that communication, both good or bad. There's some times where we have to say no, or, hey, this isn't a good fit. And having kind of that courage to get that out of the way in the beginning, as opposed to you know, pushing it down the road for that potential sale is, to me, is not a good approach. So that's basically where I'm at. If you can talk to somebody and connect and be genuine, then I can probably teach you the technical stuff, you know, on the backside.
So the more important traits really aren't the technical knowledge in watts and kilowatts and LED incandescent. It's more along the lines of, do you have the, are you the right person with the right personality just to connect and make those relationships and just really make friends everywhere you go?
Absolutely. Yep.
Awesome. And that's a huge trait that you mentioned and touched on, because nowadays everyone is in their phone or in their tablet or on electronics. And I know I'm a father of two boys, and it's like, okay, time out. No more electronics. Let's have a conversation and let's go off for coffee. And so I have a thing that every now and then, no phones, no electronics. And we go out for my coffee, their hot chocolate, and we just have a conversation. And I took my 7-year-old out a couple weeks ago and put him for bedtime the night before. He goes, I can't sleep. I'm like, why? I'm excited to have coffee with you. And he's like, what are we going to talk about? Well, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? So I think it can't be overstated the importance of communication and be able to communicate, especially in today's age where it's AI is coming in, making a big play. Everything is, you don't have to type an email anymore.
It ultimately comes down to balance. It's a balanced approach. I have to be able to talk to somebody face to face.
That's right.
I do have to be able to send a email. I have to make sure that our proposals and quote, you know, we're doing, you know, written and verbal and all of these other things. And I think where a lot of people kind of drop the ball is they're focused on one above the other and they kind of, you know, lose sight. Whereas again, it's a balanced approach.
Right.
For that success. And again, sometimes, hey, this person may be really into email and text. Great. I will follow your path. Or this person wants to do everything in person or on the phone. Great. I'll do that and stay away from the emails. It's too much kind of rinse and repeat, right? Where every customer and every project is different. We approach that, you know, we kind of put them into where they need to be, right? And we want them to be comfortable. It's ultimately, we're there for them. It's their journey. We're just kind of helping them along the way.
100%. Love it. Let's go anti-technology for a minute. I see a bunch of books behind you. Are you an avid reader?
I'm a very avid reader, and I might be in the minority these days, but it has to be a physical copy in front of me. I can't do the e-readers or Kindles or the tablets of the world. They have a place, but when it comes to my reading, it's something that I live in and I work within, and I want to be able to pull back and reference, and it's that tactile thing. And it's, you know, my wife makes fun of me because I get kind of, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. It's very romantic to hold the actual book. It's that tactile, it's that smell, it's that feel. I can write notes. It's kind of mine to go, whereas the technology side of that stuff is kind of lost and not really my cup of tea.
Yep. I understand that. I have on either side, see the books right here. What are some of your favorite books you've read that have made the biggest impact on you?
So one in particular, and it's something that I work through on an annual basis. Every year for probably the last 8 to 10 years, I would say. It's Leadership and Self-Deception from the Arbinger Institute.
Leadership and Self-Deception.
Self-Deception.
Deception. Okay.
What
is that book about?
It's basically about either, you know, again, kind of using some buzzwords, but either being in the box, not in the box type of situation. And especially kind of in a sales role, we can really kind of self-deceive ourselves with, oh, we're doing everything we can. Oh, we're great. Oh, we're really succeeding. And then if you kind of take a step back, get out of the box and be like, and really be honest, like, are we doing these things? Are we being successful? And trying to be more honest with yourself, which helps kind of hopefully the people you're working with and for will see that as well.
So how do you be more honest with yourself?
You know, again, it's, you know, I don't know everything. you know, I'm lucky because within our organization, if there's something I don't know, I'm going to be the first one to tell the customer, hey, I don't have an answer for you. But luckily, we have this huge professional, overqualified team behind me that we're going to get your answer for. Whereas I think some people will kind of, again, fake it till they make it. And they're, you know, kind of talking out a different part of their body. You know what I mean? And I don't think that sets you up for success. It may get you out of that kind of pickle or get you out of that situation short term, but long term, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. So again, it's that authentic. It's back to being genuine. And, you know, I like to do things as a team. So any project I'm working on, I have strategic partners that I've selected to kind of go along with me on the journey. So I have, you know, two people holding my hands on both sides, helping that customer, right? It's not just me. It's, you know, my lighting rep here. It's my distributor over here. It's my field install crew over here. We're all bringing something different to the table. Again, ultimately for the same goal, right?
Yeah.
It's not making yourself more important than what you really need to be.
And I love your answer and being able to admit that you don't have all the answers, but you'll get back with me. You'll find them the answer if at all possible.
Absolutely. And the best part of that is the customer ultimately gets what they need, but also kind of selfishly on my end, I'm going to pick up something, right?
Right.
So 100%. It's twofold. Like this is kind of a double-edged sword that's positive on both ends.
Yeah. And I think that almost the principles that you've laid out and we've talked about are applicable in just about any service-based industry out there, whether it be roofing, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, landscaping. These are universal principles that that will absolutely change someone's life if they read the books and they listen to and have the right mindset. So what, maybe give us one more book that you've read that's really made an impact on you.
One more. So let's see. Probably. Probably the most recent one was Atomic Habits, which I know is kind of hot these days, right?
It is.
You know, and it's one of those things too where you keep seeing it pop up, and I'm like, okay, sure, you know what I mean? Like, I need something, let's pick it up. And then I'm like, oh wow, like some of these habits, you know, you kind of get rocked to sleep and you don't realize, oh, this may not be a good habit. Or again, looking yourself in the mirror, like, I need to change this. I know this is a problem. And it's not just talking about it and whatnot. It's, hey, let's literally put out a plan. I'm a big writer. I'm going to write down stuff. That's kind of how I hold myself accountable between that and my calendar. It's like, hey, I'm going to give myself some deadlines. I'm going to give myself some, you know, some space to work within, again, to make sure I'm not, you know, in the box, as they say, back to my first reference, right? It's good, healthy habits for work, for home, and everything. Again, back to that holistic approach. It all goes together.
Awesome. So what's one piece of advice you would give someone coming up behind you that says that's aspiring to be the next Andrew, the next them, or that's going to be sitting in your seat in 2 or 3 years, and they say, I need something to work on. What's that one piece of advice you would offer that one person coming up behind you?
I would say you need to put yourself out there. Don't sit back and kind of wait for things to come to you and then kind of react. Don't be in this space for I'm reacting to what's coming to me. Be proactive in that approach. Go out and hunt. Go out and make those relationships. Meet with people that you may not ever do any business with, but take the time to meet as many people as you possibly can. Integrate networking into your day-to-day activities, be it in a sales role, an operation role, leadership, whatever your role is, figure out what that is, but ultimately put yourself out there so people know who you are, learn to talk to people, you start picking up some of those things, and you'd be amazed kind of how the web starts to interconnect. And before you know it, you've created, like me, I've created a profession over 12 years where my web is very interconnected along the way. And you know, you have something to be proud of at that point.
That's awesome. So talking about getting to know people and networking and talking with people and learning. This is a question that dovetails perfectly with one of our last questions here is, if you had to pick somebody either from at any point in the past, any point in the history or in the present day to go have dinner with and have one-on-one, just a very intimate conversation with and learn to pick their brain, ask them any question under the sun, who would that be and why?
So for me, it would be Mike Krzyzewski, the former coach of Duke basketball.
Okay.
You know, something that I have a family connection with. My dad and I are big Duke basketball guys. I spent many years as younger in my days, volunteering as a basketball coach. I would sit down with him, pick his brain on just his leadership skills, what made him successful over the years. Plus I'd like to hear all of those kind of backroom locker room stories that we probably don't have access to.
I'm sure he ran such a successful program for so many years, so many national championships. I'm an Orange fan. I swear I'm to school of Syracuse, and Duke is just such a phenomenal team, and was in large part because of his recruiting ability and coaching ability. And there's nothing like having a good coach.
And I kind of look at, I may not be in a true, leadership or whatnot, but kind of that coach aspect of things is, I think it's a good approach to people, and it's important to me. And I don't do it for me. Everything I do every day is not for me. It's for my team. It's for my company. It's for my family. This isn't about me. You know what I mean? If anything, I'm the very last one on that list, right?
That's right. No, I love your mindset, the sales approach, being able to connect. You're with an obviously very successful company of over 120 years from 1904 World Fair in St. Louis to self-made for the past 12 years and sitting in a lot of different seats to sum up, I guess, what this conversation has been about. And I hope
One thing I'd like to throw in just about Guarantee, again, as we kind of go from that, World's Fair story into kind of where we're at today, we're very proud that we're 100% employee owned. It's something we're very proud about. Our leaders on our team spent a lot of time putting that all together. And it's kind of another, feather in our cap when we're out there in the market that we are all employee owners. And if we have that mindset as employee owners, again, we're going to, we're successful now, but we want another 100 years, right?
I love it. The tenacity, there's a big difference between an employer mindset versus an entitlement. Just I'm here for a paycheck type mindset. It's a big, big difference there. But my hope and my goal is that somebody that is looking into sales will pick up this podcast at some point. But you know what? I love the advice Andrew gave. I love his mindset. I love his attitude. I want to be like Andrew. So, but with that, thank you so much. It was such an honor having you here. Learned so much from you about the success mindset. We'll have to do it again in a little bit here.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's interview. Every week, we release two new episodes. Remember to follow Success Unlimited's podcast wherever you listen. Thanks again for listening in.